Hi, this is Dr. Diane Hyndman, publisher of Natural Nutmeg Magazine, and I have on the line with me today Dr. Ayelet Connell Jean Mateo. She is the practice manager and director of pediatrics for regional physical therapy and the Institute of Integrative Manual Therapy, which is both headquartered in Bloomfield, Connecticut. She is also the dean of the Connecticut School of Integrative Manual Therapy, and she has taught courses in IMT nationally and internationally for over 15 years. She received her doctoral degree focusing in neuropediatrics with a concentration in autism. And today we are going to be talking to her about her chapter in our upcoming book, Essential Remedies for Women's Health. And her chapter is going to be on how to have a healthy pregnancy. So Ayelet, how are you today?
I'm well. Thanks for having me, Diane.
Great. So your chapter goes into a lot of different strategies and modalities and therapies dealing with all kinds of issues for women who are pregnant, and we're going to talk about a bunch of those different things today. So I think kind of one of the most interesting things that I saw in your chapter was you talked a lot about basically changes that you recommend making to the household prior to the birth of a new baby. And I think we're often so concerned about just taking care of our bodies that we don't actually think so much about the environment around us. So I was just going to have you elaborate a little bit on what some of those changes are that you recommend.
Sure. So, I mean, I think the concept of house-proofing is a pretty, you know, comfortable concept to most parents, but oftentimes we think about as the child gets into toddlerhood and the child is more mobile, we want to make sure that the environment is safe. But so often we don't think about the earlier time when the child is not independent, and we want to think about in creating an environment that's going to be optimally healthy for the baby and for the mom. And, you know, so often, you know, babies are nursing, and so even the health of the mother is going to affect the health of the baby directly. So some of the things that I talk about in the chapter, which are really a great strategy, is to really think about, you know, during that nesting period especially, just cleaning the house, getting rid of toxic chemicals in the house, which would include a lot of the traditional cleaners that you find out there, you know, trying to replace them with more natural substitutes. And, you know, making sure that the house is cleaned with natural substitutes, you know, some of those healthier cleaners. Also, you know, the idea of bringing in plants into the house that could filter the air. There's some wonderful plants like peace lilies and spider plants, philodendrons that are really great at filtering pollutants out of the air so that we're creating an environment in the home that's going to be optimal for the baby that's, you know, going to be more sensitive than us adults, just because of how new they are to this world and their exposure to all the different chemicals that are out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. Do you have any specific cleaners that you use that you recommend?
You know, there are so many today. I mean, really so many. You know, a lot of what we use are Seventh Generation, which is a very common, well-known company. I mean, even the company Method, which is a bit more affordable, you can find at places like Target, that have more natural ingredients that are biodegradable. There's a lot of recipes even online and in a lot of different types of books on making cleaners out of vinegar-based products. There's just so many options out there, and some of them are more expensive, but there are definitely more affordable options, like Method, for example.
Right, and when you think about it, I mean, it really makes perfect sense, because if you think back to our grandmothers or great-grandmothers, I'm sure that they didn't have Febreze and formula 409 and whatever else. So does that mean they didn't get their houses clean?
Yeah, no, it's very true. And, you know, so often, especially when I work with families and with clients, and we make changes in their diet and in these sorts of sort of healthy living strategies, you know, they'll say, okay, well, when I run out of these things, I will replace them with something healthier. But when we're pregnant, we don't necessarily have that kind of time to wait until we run out of 409 and Clorox and all these types of, you know, sort of cleaning essentials. So it's one of those times when it's really good to just take the things you have and either, you know, give them away or get rid of them and really try to replace them with things that are going to be healthier for the baby.
Right. I kind of liken it to well, I'm gonna go on a diet, but I've got, you know, 5 bags of chips and 3 bags of cookies in the house. But so I'm gonna finish those and then I'll go on my diet.
It's all about postponing, right? You can't postpone a baby coming.
Exactly. Yeah. So you might as well just get rid of that stuff now. Yeah, so that's great. I love the idea of plants too. I mean, just things that you wouldn't normally think of that are some really simple changes that can, you know, make a big difference.
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting.
Go ahead.
You know, thinking about even not just surface cleaners, but, you know, when we have a baby and it's a newborn, it sleeps in a crib or in a bassinet or in our bed. You know, there's plenty of family bed concepts out there around the world that many of us participate in. But even thinking about what we use to clean the sheets on our bed, you know, it's so often that a baby will have challenges initially with breathing and, you know, things like that when they're first born. And so often it's contributed to by just chemicals in the laundry detergent that is, you know, sort of off-gassing from the sheets. So being able to use more natural cleaners in that sense also is really great.
Right. And also, even I think you mentioned something in the chapter about just the kind of materials that you use for clothing or linens or sheets.
Yeah, definitely trying to do natural fibers the whole way. I mean, I think historically that was just an obvious, but I think in our newer culture, when things are so synthesized because it's cheaper to you know, manufacture and cheaper to buy, you know, we see in so many baby things. Things made out of polyester and other types of synthetic fabrics, but trying to find things that are made out of 100% natural fibers, they don't have to be organic. Obviously, that's ideal, but it's also very expensive. But trying to find fabrics that are made out of cotton and wool, things that are soft, obviously, but are going to be more naturally, you know, created is so wonderful. And, you know, so often babies have issues like eczema and, you know, more skin-related, you know, challenges, and definitely having more natural fibers will help. You know, even down to the diapers, you know, if you can steer away from using disposable diapers or diapers that have bleach in them and trying to use ones that are more natural fiber, it's great to reduce things like diaper rash that are so often something that, you know, plague babies and just frustrate parents to no end.
Right. Yeah, those are great ideas. So what kinds of things do you recommend for an optimal diet during pregnancy?
You know, there's a lot of information today on how to be healthy, and, you know, sometimes that information conflicts with other information, but when a woman is pregnant, what we want to do is create an environment in the woman's body that is optimal for growth and for healing, and the ideal is to be able to have an environment that doesn't have a lot of inflammation. And so what's key is to be able to eat a diet that is not going to produce more inflammation, essentially an anti-inflammatory diet. So trying to avoid foods that are considered pro-inflammatory, foods that are going to create more inflammation in our body. So one of the more well-known diets today would be gluten-free, and definitely gluten is a grain that is very inflammatory. It's found in wheat and rye and barley and oftentimes oat. So being able to eliminate gluten from the diet is the bare essential, for sure. But in addition to that, you know, assuming the woman has the wherewithal to do this, being dairy-free is a great suggestion for women that are pregnant, because so often it can reduce the nausea of morning sickness and other types of just swelling. You know, being able to reduce refined foods or eliminate them completely, definitely refined sugars, you know, foods that are genetically modified, anything that's going to put chemicals into the body that could otherwise be avoided. So a natural diet, having a lot of greens, green vegetables, multicolored vegetables are just essential, not just for the health of the mother, but for the optimal development of the baby in utero. And then, you know, obviously lots and lots of water is so important. Even when a woman is swollen, sometimes we think that if we drink water and we have swollen feet, it's going to make it worse. But in fact, it's the opposite. The more water we drink, the more filtration we get in our body, the more drainage we get. And then, you know, there's a lot of women out there that when they're pregnant, they're very anemic, you know, where they're missing iron. And so being able to have a diet that consists of meat is usually the better diet for women that are pregnant. Not always the case, but usually. And so if you're going to eat meat, which can certainly help with the iron intake and just getting that protein amount for you and the baby, having the meats be natural is very important, making sure that they're free of growth hormones and antibiotics. You know, they don't necessarily have to be organic. That's obviously ideal, but it can be very expensive to do that. But just trying to have natural meats. You know, going to places like Trader Joe's, for example, you can find natural meats that are going to be less expensive maybe than Whole Foods, although, of course, Whole Foods is just so great in creating this culture of natural food for us. So those are kind of key. There's a lot, been a lot of information more recently about reducing grain in the diet, like doing more of a paleo diet. And, you know, I think that that's great because grain can be very inflammatory, but I think it's important to make sure that the mother's getting enough carbohydrates and even just calories in their diet to supplement her and the baby. So if they do that, they have to make sure, the woman has to make sure that she's planning out her meals and her snacks to make sure she's getting enough food. But definitely gluten-free, dairy-free, you know, chemical-free, refined sugar-free, lots of vegetables, natural meats. That would be, I would say, the essential diet. A lot of water.
Yeah. It sounds like it actually should be the essential diet for all of us.
Oh, absolutely. The ultimate anti-inflammatory diet. I mean, I would say there's been some great books out more recently. There's one book called The Grain Brain that just came out recently by Dr. Perlmutter, who is a neurologist and board-certified nutritionist. And it's all about how grain is very inflammatory, and it's just really validating some of the information out there about how reducing grains completely, not just gluten, but any kind of grain, even rice, can be really helpful to promote the health of our body. With women that are pregnant, again, you just have to make sure you're getting enough food. That's really important.
Right. So what are some things to think about when creating a birth plan? I know we've talked a little bit now about diet and also cleaning up, you know, your household and environment. Are there some other things that a pregnant woman should be thinking about in terms of that?
Yeah, you know, when I had my two kids, I had home birth, and it was an exciting time. There was a lot of anticipation, and we had this really wonderful midwife that we worked with. And one of the things that she had coached us in early on with a birth plan was trying to envision the ideal scene. You know, what is the ideal scene for you and your partner to have a baby? And, you know, part of that is really asking yourself, what's going to make you feel the safest? You know, what environment is going to be the safest? That's question number one. Do you want to have your baby in a hospital? Do you want it to be in a birth center? Can you envision having the baby at home? You know, do you feel like you need a midwife there or a doula? Do you really feel strongly about having an OBGYN deliver the baby? You know, trying to really take time to do some daydreaming, brainstorming, discussions with your partner, if you have a partner. You know, just really trying to think of what's going to make me feel the safest, because ultimately, when we deliver a baby, there are so many possible complications that can occur, but having a baby is not a medical issue. It's not a disease. It's not an illness. It's not a syndrome. It's something totally natural, and it shouldn't be complicated, but it oftentimes gets more complicated if the health of the mother is poor, but also if the mother is feeling a lot of stress. And so anything to be able to alleviate stress is going to help to create the optimal delivery. And so having time to really think through what's going to make me feel the safest so that I'm not in sort of this hyper-facilitated adrenal stress mode. And part of that is really thinking about, you know, where do I want to have the baby? You know, taking time to think about that. There's a wonderful book called Spiritual Midwifery by Ina May Gaskin. It's a great book. And she, you know, talks a lot about these things. And there's a lot of birth stories in them, wonderful birth stories that you can read. And it gives you a lot of different ideas. But, you know, one of the things that I was so grateful for was having a midwife to talk to who really didn't see childbirth as a medical issue, but as this natural process. And so she really wasn't, she wasn't invested in any particular fashion of childbirth, but just had so much information for me to really, you know, consider. And one of the other, you know, processes of learning that I think are just great for women and their partners to take is the Bradley birthing method. If you can find a local, you know, series of classes to get trained in the Bradley birthing method, and you can find it online. There's a ton of information about it. They train you in, you know, just the concept of a natural birth, whether it's in a hospital or another setting, but the different, you know, sort of options that you could have. And then those are the things that you want to incorporate into creating a birth plan. You know, do I want to have you know, a water birth? Do I want to be able to, you know, have a birth in a squatting position? I mean, there's so many possibilities that many women just don't even know are available to them. So I think, you know, going through the Bradley birthing method is great because it just gives you a ton of information. But the birth plan is really about understanding what is going to make me feel the safest as a mother to deliver this baby so I can be in the least stressed environment so that it can create the more optimal delivery.
Right, yeah. Unfortunately, I think what most people are thinking about is when they're going to get their epidural.
Yes, I know. And, you know, it's funny, having a birth at home, that's not even an option. So,
well, yeah, no kidding.
I'm completely, you know, eliminated from the birth plan because, oh, my gosh, I need the drugs. But, you know,
working
with a midwife, and, again, you know, if you feel strongly that you just won't be able to tolerate the pain of delivery, then an epidural is an option. Obviously, it's not the healthiest way to deliver a baby, but it's not the end of the world, you know. Babies are so resilient, and they can get over lots of things. So if you feel strongly that that is the way for you, then maybe it is the way for you and the baby. But having at least someone to talk to about it, so you can understand, you know, the just the ramifications of everything and all your options, I think is the best way to go. So it's like there's no judgment about what's right and wrong, but more what's the right way for you as a mother to deliver the baby.
Right. Well, I think a lot of it boils down to that people just aren't that educated, and they don't, like you said, really know what all the options are that might be. Everyone's kind of, you know, you just assume that you go to the hospital and that's what happens. But
there's definitely about education.
There are so many alternatives for sure. So let's talk a little bit about integrative manual therapy, and we're going to talk about that specifically related to pregnancy and how you use the modality to help pregnant women. But for those people who are on the call that might not be familiar with IMT, do you want to just talk a little bit about what it is in general, and then we can get into, you know, the relationship or using it with pregnant women?
Sure. So integrative manual therapy is a type of hands-on therapy. It's very gentle. It was developed over the last 35 some odd years by Dr. Sharon DiMatteo, who's actually my mother, and she is a physical therapist. She has done a lot of researching in the field of alternative health. She has her, you know, master's in clinical neurosciences and her PhD in neuropediatrics, adult neurotraumatic brain injury. I mean, there's a wide berth of information that she stems from. But she developed this type of therapy because she had people in her family that were very ill, and she didn't have a lot of options to help them. And so she created this type of therapy that you use your hands. It's very gentle. There are some similarities to some other types of approaches. It's a manual therapy, so, you know, other types of manual therapy would be like craniosacral therapy or osteopathy. The difference between those therapies and IMT, integrated manual therapy, is that those therapies might be limited to particular systems in the body, like, for example, helping with more cranial issues or spinal issues. But integrative manual therapy provides tools, hands-on techniques that are, again, very soft and gentle to treat all the body, and not just as a, you know, just thinking about sort of general wellness, but there are techniques to address every tissue of the body, you know, whether it's a neurologic issue or a spinal issue or a gut issue or a learning challenge or even something with the kidneys or the heart or a swollen foot. I mean, it's really, there's a wonderful process of assessment where we as IMT practitioners can use our hands to determine what is compromised, what's wrong in the body, and then use these techniques to help support healing at that site. But it's very specific so that the treatment is very specific, and the results are very specific as far as, you know, those tissues in the body that were compromised are now working better, and so the person starts to feel different. It has better function. So I can use an example, and sometimes that's a little bit easier to understand. Totally not thinking about pregnancy for a moment. If you think about, let's say, someone that has a frozen shoulder, adhesive capsulitis, where, you know, they have a lot of weakness in the shoulder and they really can't use their arm very much and it hurts to move it. Well, in the traditional approach, you know, as a physical therapist, I would mobilize the shoulder and I would stretch it and I would strengthen it and I would do all these things to try and create more mobility. But oftentimes, it's not very successful and not very sustainable, and it's very painful therapy. It can be. But with my other hat, that's being an IMT practitioner, you know, what we try to look for is underlying causes for dysfunction. So we can use our hands to palpate, you know, a variety of different rhythms in the body in that area that are specific to different tissues. So I can put my hands in over the shoulder region and you know, discover, well, is there, you know, swelling or irritation of a nerve? Is a nerve impinged? You know, is there bruising on the bone of the joint? Is there some, you know, circulatory issues there? Is there an immune problem there? And be able to apply different IMT techniques to that area to try to heal some of the underlying dysfunction so that then the joint is easier to create more long-lasting changes. And, you know, the body is so interesting. It's so brilliant. And certainly in alternative medicine, we, you know, we validate that on a regular basis. But the body has this amazing ability to protect itself. It's the body's wisdom. So that if there is something important in the body, like an artery or a vein or a nerve or something that is compromised, that is damaged, the body will limit movement in that area on purpose. So you might get adhesive capsulitis, like frozen shoulder, and you won't be able to move, and it'll hurt to try to move because the body doesn't want to move the area because it's trying to create sort of, you know, an encapsulation around the area so it can heal itself. And whether it heals itself or not, it's creating an environment so that you don't make it worse, so you don't create more problems. And so with IMT, we understand that. We understand the concept of protection and the body's wisdom. So what we're trying to do is create a way to find what's hurting and help to fix it so that then the protective mode just goes away. We can really create more mobility in the shoulder in a more natural way. So if we think about kind of creating more of a direct example to women's health, you know, you think about women that are pregnant and some of the different issues that they have, right? So they might have swollen legs, and they might have back pain and foot pain, or they might have even just bladder issues, right? I mean, the thing that we don't all like to talk about, but it's just the reality for pregnancy, where we have to pee all the time, and oftentimes we have incontinence, right, where we can't get to the bathroom in time, or maybe we're watching a movie and we laugh and we pee in our pants, right, or we sneeze. You know, this is just
no
like
one wants to talk about that.
About. Yeah, nobody wants to talk about it, but it is a reality. Yep. And, you know, so often when we go into a pregnancy, we carry our baggage with us, right? We have our earlier history that is residing in our body as our uterus grows and compresses things inside us as the baby grows. And what happens is as we're pregnant and as there's less space inside as the baby's growing, the organs get compressed. And that's a natural process that should happen, and we should continue to be able to function normally. You know, yes, we might be able to handle less, you know, fluid in our body and have to pee more frequently, but there's a norm to that, and then there's, you know, an abnormal. And so if we have inflammation in our pelvis and our abdomen already, if we have, you know, tissues that are tethered to each other because of, you know, earlier injuries maybe that we had, like car accidents that affected, you know, the alignment of our pelvis or something like that, then it can create more of these types of symptoms during pregnancy. And so with IMT, when we work with a woman that's pregnant, regardless what time in the, you know, in the trimesters they are, we're still looking for areas in the body where there's inflammation, you know, swelling or scar tissue or just compression that's not normal, and trying to work very gently to create more space and more immunity in those areas and better drainage, better circulation, so that those tissues that are compressed but also dysfunctional can heal. And what you find is that, you know, as you do that, there's more space in the body so that the person can have, you know, better bladder function, better bowel function, better drainage so that there's less swelling in the legs. So that's one example, but even, you know, if you think about women that are pregnant and have a lot of back pain, and, you know, we think, oh, that's just standard, you know, I'm going to have a baby, I'm going to have back pain while I'm pregnant, I'm not going to be able to bend down and pick the pencil up off the floor. All of that is not normal, it's just typical. And most women that go into being pregnant have earlier back issues, spinal issues that they may or may not know about. And so using IMT, you can help very gently to create more healthy alignment to the spine, the pelvis, the hips, so that two wonderful things happen. One is the woman has less pain in her back and her pelvis and her hips and better movement, even being able to bend down with better, you know, ease and more stability, but also the labor gets less painful. I mean, obviously we all know that delivery is painful, but when your spine is healthier, when you have better joint alignment, then what happens is the baby has an easier time coming out of the birth canal. And so it's a less painful and oftentimes less extended process of delivery. You know, many women that have come to us and having already had children and then are subsequently pregnant again, and they get treated and their back becomes healthier and their pelvic alignment is healthier, their second deliveries are commonly faster, but in this case, they're faster and they're also less painful, less back labor. It's just a healthier process.
Yeah, that's fantastic, because I think, like you said, a lot of people just assume that it kind of, you know, comes with the territory and you're just going to have back pain.
Yeah.
But, you know, like you're saying, it's really just a matter of, you know, either dealing with some past issues that you might even not be aware of, or just getting the body as healthy as it can possibly be so that you don't necessarily have to have all of these issues, you know, during this time.
Yeah, that's exactly. It's about creating an environment that's optimal, optimally healthy, not just in your home, but in your body, which is the home for the baby during that time of, you know, pregnancy.
Right. And a couple of things just occurred to me. I know you didn't focus on them in your chapter, but I'm just curious to get your opinion, because I'm sure that it would be a question that would come up. But what are your thoughts on pregnancy massage?
You know, I think that anything that's going to make the woman feel more comfortable and less stressed is wonderful. So assuming that it's not deep tissue massage, it's going to be maybe a bit too aggressive. Massage can be so great. How often do we get touched? You know what I mean? Obviously, we got touched to have a baby.
Right.
But beyond that, so often as a woman, we're just not getting the tenderness that we need to be able to feel optimally peaceful, right, and to reduce stress in our lives. So massage is a wonderful way to get that tenderness, you know, that just that touching, that caressing, that, and it can be great for drainage also. I just would definitely shy away from anything that's deep tissue, because if someone has alignment problems in their spine and their pelvis, then the deep tissue massage can just create more inflammation, maybe not right away, but it'll just create sort of more long-term issues as far as getting a healthy, optimal delivery. Doing something like IMT can really help with the alignment, but I think pregnancy massage is a wonderful thing to do to just help, you know, create a calmer environment in the body.
Right, yeah. Okay, and I think a lot of times we think of massage as like this luxury, when really it's all, you know, to me, I've learned over the years that it's something that should be treated more like you treat your diet or you treat exercise. It's really, you know, it's so beneficial to the body. It's not like, you know, going and getting your nails done. It's something that your body actually needs. Yeah.
Yeah, and actually there are many massage therapists that have studied IMT over the years that have taken classes with us. I mean, as a clinic, we are primarily physical therapists and chiropractors that practice IMT, but there's been a lot of massage therapists around the world that have studied with us and incorporated IMT into their massage practice.
And also, I think you can actually, I don't know if there's an actual certification, but I know that there are also therapists that are trained in pregnancy massage, too.
Oh, yes, definitely.
So, yeah. What about exercise during a pregnancy? What are your thoughts about that, whether somebody should, you know, start an exercise program, or if they've been doing something regularly, how safe is that to continue on?
Well, I think exercise is essential, I think in general, for all of us, no matter, you know, what's going on with us, whether we're pregnant or not. You know, the cardinal rule with pregnancy is if it's, you know, an exercise that involves any kind of intensity, if you've been doing it all along prior to being pregnant, then it's okay to continue, and assuming that it's not overtly intense or, you know, exertion like a marathon or something, then you wouldn't incorporate it into that last kind of end of the trimester. But definitely continuing what you've been doing before is always a good idea, assuming it's, you know, not going to cause you more problems or causing any kind of pain. But as far as for those many of us that are very busy and don't exercise at all, when we are pregnant, it's very important to exercise, I think for a number of reasons. You know, one of the reasons to exercise is to help with stress reduction. So that's a big one, not just being in a relaxed, you know, environment from time to time, but also moving, getting movement in your body. Also, exercising can help with drainage. You know, so often when we're pregnant, we have a lot of swelling in our body just because fluid is in, you know, sort of retention. So being able to exercise can help with stimulating the lymphatic system so that we get drainage of fluid from our body. And then, you know, just tone. You know, having being pregnant is easier if we have healthier tone to our muscle. When we have more sort of weakness, in our muscles, then it can affect our pregnancy and how we feel and our energy levels and how lethargic or fatigued we are. If we exercise can definitely help to revitalize us, give us more vitality. But even being more specific to some of the more women's health tissues, doing bladder exercises can be really helpful with reducing bladder symptoms like incontinence and urinary frequency. You know, many people many people know about Kegel exercises, for example, which, you know, is one of those things that so many of us hate to do when we're pregnant, but is very commonplace in pregnancy instruction. But there are other ways to exercise the pelvic floor. There is a wonderful physical therapist who's been around for many years. Her name is Janet Humes, H-U-L-M-E-S, and she has created this exercise regimen that is so incredibly gentle, but it is very successful. I would say even more successful than Kegel exercises. Easy enough to Google her and find her what's called Roll for Control, and she has a whole pregnancy regimen also. But it's also an important thing to think about when you're pregnant, just to help to reduce the chance of having tearing during delivery or, you know, being able to avoid episiotomies, things like that. But I think exercise is essential.
Yeah, yeah, and that's great. I'm glad that you you pointed that out about just another alternative that, you know, that women can look for. And she is Janet. She's local to Connecticut.
No, Janet Humes lives in the Midwest, but her
her
is everything
exercises
online. She has a website, but also she's written books and she's produced DVDs that are easily purchased online.
Okay.
And they're very easy to learn from. And also, you know, in our clinic, our physical therapists are trained in Janet Humes. So we've trained many women in doing those exercises, not just pregnant women, but women that have pelvic pain or, you know, bladder issues, bowel issues, or back pain, because it's great to stabilize the pelvic floor. So there are exercises that are good for any woman or man that has those types of issues, but also during pregnancy. But definitely you can learn those techniques by reading her books. They have some great, you know, pictures in them or watching her DVDs.
Yeah, that's a great resource. So before I move on, because I know we wanted to talk a little bit about just your practice in general and all the different modalities you offer, is there anything else that you can think of that, you know, we didn't touch on related specifically more to having a healthy pregnancy?
I think we covered a lot. You know, I think just to reiterate it, you know, one of the more important things with women and pregnancy is to understand that, you know, being healthy as a mother is going to help the baby. And I think sometimes we get so frustrated in all the changes we have to make, but they're so essential to the health of the baby, to how the baby is born in those early years of development. I mean, you know, the early years, the formative years of a baby are essential to the development of that person into an adult. And so much of that is dependent on the health of the mother. So much of the health of the baby is dependent on the health of the mother. And so the more that the mother can take care of herself, even ideally before she's pregnant, is essential. Yeah, really essential. And it's a wonderful time to try to create a space for yourself to just have some peace and not be in a place of stress can also help the health of the mother and the health of the baby. Because so often during pregnancy, the mother gets so depleted because so much of her is going towards the baby. And so being able to really support the mother helps the baby, but helps the mother to get through pregnancy in, you know, an optimal way.
Right, right. And we're actually going to be talking to Vicki Koblinger in a couple of weeks about her chapter, which is on basically, you know, what you just said, creating that healthy body pre-pregnancy before, you know, you're even thinking about conceiving and just getting your body into, you know, a healthier state for that. And then she's also going to be covering some things on infertility and conception and whatnot. So, I definitely agree. It's something that really needs to be started ahead of time, for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be a great lecture. Vicki's a wonderful practitioner.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't even know where to start because you're... There's so many different things. It's just, I mean, it's amazing. But, you know, when you described a little bit earlier about what IMT is, I think people kind of got the gist that it really can be used for so many different treatment issues, chronic diseases, et cetera. So I'll just let you, you know, if there's a few things that you want to touch on, I'll have you do that, and we'll go from there.
That sounds good. So so our practice, we have, you know, multiple names, multiple personalities, but the practice that we've had since 1984, so, you know, we've literally been around for over 30 years, or close to 30 years, it's called Regional Physical Therapy. And Regional Physical Therapy is what was started by my mother, Dr. Sharon Weiselfish DiMatteo, and our founding partner, Carol Gordon, who's also a physical therapist. And over, you know, the last 20 years, Regional Physical Therapy was sort of taken in by this umbrella name of the Institute of Integrative Manual Therapy because, of course, we offer a lot more than physical therapy. But the foundation of what we do is IMT. It is at the heart of our diagnostics, our assessment, our evaluation, our treatment, and then incorporated into IMT are some really great modalities. We have, you know, largely in our practice, we have physical therapists that are specialized in IMT and other services, and many of those therapists have literally been with us for 30 years since the practice was started. We have a good, you know, 7 or 8 physical therapists that have been with us for close to 30 years, so they're remarkable practitioners.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. We have really low turnover rate. And, you know, I think they love the freedom of practice, honestly, being able to treat in a way that feels right to them. And there's a lot of collaboration here. So, you know, when we have a client that comes in, whatever their issue, and oftentimes very complicated issue or issues, you know, we try to work as a team to brainstorm, to really think about what's the best program for that person so that we can really see sustainable changes for them. But incorporated with the IMT, which is what we do, as physical therapists, of course, we incorporate a lot of exercise as, you know, as it's appropriate. We have some really great exercise equipment here to support people with that. And we also have some great, you know, real state-of-the-art modalities. Like, for example, we have a heat laser, which is a wonderful, wonderful therapy to help reduce scar tissue and inflammation. And it can get, you know, very shallow but also very deep to deep tissues to help healing of, you know, muscle tissue and all kinds of soft tissue in the body. So we incorporate that, you know, accordingly when someone has joint issues or soft tissue issues. And then, you know, also what's very, you know, pervasive for us in our sessions is counseling and coaching the person in nutrition and healthy living, natural living. We do a lot of nutritional wellness in our practice, a lot of supporting clients with diet, but, you know, rather than just seeing people every now and then and saying, well, this is what we want you to do for your diet, we're working with them regularly with our hands doing manual therapy, and we're all very knowledgeable in diet and healthy living. So we're literally supporting them on a regular basis to shift their lifestyle. And so it's become this wonderful asset to our clients and ends up being sort of a family practice where people bring their family members in because we really can hold their hands through not making all these huge changes right at once, but starting with baby steps and then carrying through with them into, you know, that outer end of really, okay, now I'm fully gluten-free and grain-free and sugar-free or whatever is right for that person. We sort of held their hands through all of it. And we get to see them more frequently because they might be coming in for IMT and maybe getting, you know, physical therapy reimbursement for it, which are, you know, is a nice benefit. We offer chiropractic here, but again, our version of chiropractic is IMT. So we have clients that come in and see us for IMT and nutrition and exercise and healthy living coaching and so on, but they might do it under, you know, the umbrella of physical therapy or chiropractic so that they can get reimbursement from their insurance. We do a lot of out-of-network, but we also do some in-network insurance. We offer insurance submissions for Anthem, Blue Cross Blue Shield, and also for Connecticut. So we have a lot of clients that come in for in-network visits, and they receive IMT because, you know, manual therapy is part of the physical therapy paradigm. So that's very cool for people to be able to get some reimbursement. We see clients that are Medicare, and we're not participating, but we can do electronic submissions for Medicare. So a lot of our clients will come in and pay at time of service, but then they get reimbursement directly to them for a large portion of what they're paying for the IMT session. So that's just really great. You know, some of the other things we do, and this is actually great for women that are pregnant, in addition to the IMT and the nutritional counseling and, you know, supplements if it's appropriate, we fit people for shoe orthotics. And that, you know, what a lot of people don't know about shoe orthotics, it seems like this sort of random thing. It's really great not just for foot pain and knee pain, but really great for back pain. And so many of our clients that come in with alignment issues of their spine and their pelvis, their hips, their legs, will work with IMT to help correct all that. But then giving them shoe orthotics, fitting them, casting them for shoe orthotics, which essentially puts an insert in their shoe, creates a floor for their foot to sit on, essentially, that normalizes the posture of their foot. And what a lot of people don't know about pregnancy, when we're pregnant, we have what's called ligamentous laxity, which means that our ligaments are very, very loose, and they would have to be for the baby to be able to come out of a very small hole.
Right.
yeah, but it actually affects all the ligaments in our body. And so what's very cool is for many of us that have poor arches in our feet, during the time of pregnancy, because our ligaments are so loose, we have this incredible potential to create a better arch in our foot. And so we have a lot of our clients that are pregnant that are getting, you know, all kinds of IMT treatment for their back and their pelvis and so on. We'll cast them for orthotics while they're pregnant so that we can really create the optimal arch in their foot. And then during their pregnancy, they sort of create this new arch. It's really a very cool phenomenon. And it helps them not just with back pain during pregnancy, but it also helps to alleviate back pain that they might have had before and then, of course, after, so that they just have less pain. So shoe orthotics is great. We use a very special company called Soul Supports that was founded by this very cool guy, Dr. Ed Glazer, who is an engineer and also a podiatrist, which is sort of a strange mixing of science and medicine, but he's brilliant. And he created this concept of the shoe orthotics that creates a normal posture for the foot, not just when you're standing in your shoes, but also as you're walking through sort of the swing phase of your walking cycle. So we, you know, we do a lot of things here, and people can get insurance reimbursement for it. And our therapists, most of them have been with us for 30 years. They're incredibly knowledgeable, and IMT is at the foundation of all of it, of what we do.
Right, right. And one thing I want to let everybody know is you actually have an article on shoe orthotics coming out in our March issue of Natural Health.
Oh, in the e-zine, yeah.
Yep, yep. So if people are interested in that, they can go to naturalnutmeg.com and download the digital issue of March, and Ayala's article will be in there, which is, goes into much more detail than what we've been able to cover today, for sure. But
wrote that article with one of my partners here, George Giannone, who's a physical therapist, who's been with us for, you know, close to 30 years, and he has such an expertise in biomechanics of the spine and feet and shoe orthotics. So he was a real resource to me in writing that article.
Yeah, definitely. And I think people don't realize that what an impact it can have on your back, for sure, if you're not, you know, if your gait is just incorrect, and how shoe orthotics can correct that. You know, like you said, it's not just related to the foot. It's, you know, it can really relieve a lot of back pain that you probably wouldn't even really think to associate those two. But so that will be a great informative article. So I want to thank you for your time today, Ayala. And
thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, if people are interested in learning more, should we send them to your website?
You know, that's a good place. Our website, which is www.instituteofimt.com. physicalfitness.com is a good place to go, and also, you know, our clinic, Regional Physical Therapy. If people have questions, they can also just call. We have a wonderful patient liaison, Mary Farrell, who helps us with just really kind of holding our clients' hands and giving them a lot of sort of more of a client experience information. So she's a good person to talk to as well. So we can just call the clinic and ask for Mary Farrell and get her information.
Okay. That sounds great. And again, thank you so much. It's been a great talk on having a healthy pregnancy. And
thank
I'm sure everyone
so will
be excited to get that book. Our release date is hopefully going to be sometime in the middle of April, but all that information will be in the magazine and up on our website.
We are very excited here to see the book.
Yeah, I bet. All right, well, you have a good day, and thanks again.
Thank you, Diane. Bye-bye.